This is Power 89.1 FM WNZN, and she just want to keep talking and talking and talking because you know
why
that's
do
what
I,
you do.
Why I always got to get blamed for
out?
Everything?
Because you were the one that was
all right,
talking.
You're right.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we do, as we said, we were have our special guest in the house today in the name of Sly Worthy Jr.
Yes.
Junior.
Yes,
so where did the Sly? I mean, is there another? Is there a Sylvester or?
Everybody asked that. I'm a junior, and my dad was named after Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I got named after Sly and the Family Stone too.
We just had to keep going with it, right?
Yep.
Right. And it's so good to have you in the studio with us today. And you're going to shine a little light on the things that you have done and things that you're getting ready to do.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Lorain, because you were at Ohio State.
Yes.
We know.
I'm happy to be here.
Yes. Okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, let's talk about the speech, your commencement speech, and a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I'm born and raised Lorain, Ohio. I graduated, part of the first graduating class of the new Lorain High School.
Oh, okay.
2017, yeah.
Okay.
After that, I went on to Ohio State, where I was a part of the Young Scholars Program. I was able to do a lot of great things there. Very fortunate to do a lot of great things there, have the opportunity to do that.
Is that the program where you get a degree in the senior year? Is that
No, that's Titan College. So okay. I'll break down Young Scholars.
Okay.
The Young Scholars Program is through the Ohio State University, mm-hmm. and essentially they recruit students from the nine largest urban school districts in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So Lorain is one of those, if y'all didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, thank you for shining that light.
Yeah, so they recruit first-generation college students,
okay.
low-income first-generation college students.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story about that, you usually get into Young Scholars when you're in sixth grade. I actually didn't get in when I was in sixth grade. Going into my junior year of high school, they had some positions open, and they were looking for more kids. So I was just on it, like, hey, how can I get in this program? How can I get in this program? I got into the program going into my junior year, and I ended up at Ohio State.
Oh, awesome.
So,
that is awesome. So you found out about the program and you asked instead of them having to come and look for you.
See, I always knew about it because I had some friends that was in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the ship had sailed because it was one of those programs you got to get in sixth grade.
Oh, okay.
But it just happened to change. And something opened up. So I was like, I'm getting in this program. They call it a generous scholarship.
Oh, okay.
They say Young Scholars doesn't give full rides, but they give generous scholarships.
Oh, generous.
So, generous scholarships. So I was afforded a generous scholarship. I graduated 2021 from Ohio State with my bachelor's degree, where I double majored in social work and African American African studies, and I minored in education. Then I was looking like, hey, I think I want to go to grad school. Got into the University of Michigan. That was the number one social work program in the country, and it still is. But I chose to stay at Ohio State. I was awarded a fellowship, so that was great. So I got to stay there and continue some of the work that I was already doing, especially around Black students and first-generation college students there. So that was just a very eye-opening experience for me. And also, like, I'm a big believer. Like, I like building things. Like, you know, I like going places where I feel like I can add value. Not saying I can't add value at the University of Michigan, but they were already number one social work program in the country. Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, if I can stay at Ohio State, what can we do to get better here?
Oh, awesome.
To try to be number one, because, you know, who likes losing the Wolverines?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Who likes losing the Wolverines?
Come on, man.
So how was it that you, let's go back a little bit, and did the commencement speech at Lorain High?
At Lorain High, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually the president of the National Honor Society. Unique story about that. The first year I was a part of the National Honor Society, I was awarded president. So I was voted president. And that was a super cool experience. We got to do a lot of projects in the community, volunteer opportunities, which was just super cool. And then every year, I don't know if it's the same, but it used to be. I was about to say back then. It wasn't that long ago. but it used to be the president of the National Honor Society had to say some words at commencement. So I was very grateful to do that as well. I actually believe I was the very first speaker. So then that would have made me the first speaker.
Right.
At the New Lorraine High School. And it was just so great to address my peers. Just knowing that we were going to go so many different places. I always knew that I was coming back to Lorraine. That was always a part of my vision and my dream. But just understanding that we just got to experience what almost 18 years of life with some people whose roots were always going to be in Lorraine. And they were going to go across the world, different countries, different states, and go and do great things. So it was just a great opportunity to address my peers. And also, like, the staff members that helped us, the administrators that really invested in us and, you know, contributed to who we were going to become.
Yeah, so you went full circle, right? Full circle. What was your full circle? What was the full circle moment for you?
So actually, I wasn't a big school person anyway. Like, you know, I was in the gifted classes and I was in College Credit Plus. So I had all those privileges. And I call them privileges because they truly are. You get so many different resources and that kind of sets you apart. And really, you know, it shows that they are investing in you and giving me so many resources. So yes, I was a part of some of those. But I still didn't like school. I don't know what it was, you know, like.
But it just came natural for you.
Yeah, it was just, I'd go to school. Sometimes I would just be bored. I think that's what it was. So I would go to school. I would do my work. Only reason why I went to school is because I knew the things that I wanted to do in life require school. So I went to school was a business decision. You know, like, I'm a firm believer of that. I know some of the things that I want to accomplish in my life and some of the things I want to do. And sometimes you got to do some things that you just got to do. You know, like, who wants to take the ACT? Who wants to, you know, who wants to do those little things that you have to do? Like, you can't be a doctor without going to med school, you know?
That's right.
So, like, I don't want to be a doctor, but I'm just saying, you know, some things you're just required to do. So school is one of those things I was required to do. My goal was always to come back and give to our community and reinvest in our community. Like, my biggest thing that I always kept in my head was, like, you know, so many people in Lorraine, and Lorraine as a city has invested in me. So, like, how can I make sure that they get a great return on their investment? And that's what I always kept, like, and I'm a big believer, and we say this at Ohio State, and that's why we're the superior school. we believe in paying it forward.
Yeah.
So we always say, like, do not pay it, you know, do not, it's not something that you need to just, you know, pay backwards. Somebody gave something to you. So we need to pay it forward to the next generation. And I was always a big advocate for that, whether that was to my peers or, you know, just understanding that one day there's going to be kids that come after us. And I want their situation to be a little bit easier, a little bit better than what we had it.
So what you're doing for other people, who was doing that for you? Because you were or were you your own best cheerleader?
I think early on, real early on, especially growing up, elementary, middle school, I truly believe that at one point I was my own best cheerleader. I was that kid that was labeled bad, disrespectful, you know, all of those labels that society and other people give kids that grow up in places like we do. So I was given all of those labels, and eventually something clicked for me. I had some great teachers. I had some great friends that I met. And they all took me in, a lot of different people in Lorraine, and really wrapped their arms around me. And that was where it truly clicked for me. Like, hey, I was my biggest cheerleader. I'm like, look, I'm going to do this just to prove them wrong. I was always one of the people like, I'm going to prove you wrong. So, like, the easiest way to get me to do something under, you know, the right thing is to tell me I can't do it. Once you tell me I can't do something, I'm doing it for sure. Especially if it's something that's going to be positive for everybody and we're going in the right direction. Like, I feed off of that. So that's just something that's about me. So, like, I was always, at a young age, I was always told, you know, getting suspended from school, you know, all of that stuff that people would attribute a bad kid. And then it kind of switched for me once I got into high school. I had a great conversation with one of my teachers Stacey Vore, and I call it a great conversation, but it was actually a life-changing conversation. And she just expected so much from me, and I never felt like somebody like that expected so much from me. So once that happened, I was like, man, like, you know, people are investing in me. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people started to invest in me, wrap their arms around me. And that was the biggest difference maker. You know, people actually starting to love us a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. that's what yeah. people don't realize. A lot yeah. of times we just want to be loved. So oh, wow. Start loving mm-hmm. us a little mm-hmm. bit.
Simple as that.
As right? simple as that. Start loving you a little bit and you're moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So how was your transition from Lorraine High to Ohio State? Ooh.
60,000 people. They said 60,000 people go to Ohio State. That's a little bit smaller than Lorraine. So imagine that right. in a couple mile radius. So, like, honestly, I tell people it wasn't super hard for me. I think the hardest part was things that were going on outside of the classroom. Like still being involved and invested in Lorraine, still having family in Lorraine. You know, like a lot of different things going on with family. That was the hardest part about college. Mm-hmm. If somebody had to go to college and they just had to do whatever it took in the class, a lot of people would be able to do it, mm-hmm. you know. But it's when life hits you and you got to go to class and you got to have a job. Mm-hmm. That's where things start getting tricky. But I tell people this. I don't think you can truly prepare for college. That's something like you can't replicate, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I took those college classes. I took the gifted classes. You can't replicate college.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, and I'm a big believer in this, like Lorraine taught me all of those soft skills to be successful in college.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about grit, hard work, everything this community values. I took those values to college and it made college that much easier. You know, when something got hard, like life in Lorraine is hard. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
I was already prepared for that. Like, because I done been in difficult situations where, you know, you learn how to maximize your resources because you don't got that many.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to college, I'm like, y'all done messed up giving me a writing center, giving me an extra tutor, giving me these world-renowned professors. Like, y'all done messed up. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's how I viewed it. So, like, all of those soft skills, it wasn't nothing that I learned in the classroom in Lorraine High. It was more of those soft skills, caring about your community, having pride where you're from. You know, those were the things that really allowed me to be successful in college. So when I got there, all of that translated. It wasn't nothing that I did in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. And so the question is, what made you decide to come back to Lorraine? You hit on it a little bit.
Yeah, I hit on it a little bit. Like I said, growing up, like I always wanted to leave our, I fell in love with Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of that gritty nature that we have, the hard work. Like, I loved it. I don't know what it was. I loved the things that we value. We had so much pride. And we can look around the city and see so many things wrong, but we still had so much pride in where we were from.
Right.
And that's something that was inspiring to me. And then it got to a point where I'm like, look, like, my goal right now is I want to help people in Lorraine that come from where I come from. In order to do that, I got to go to college.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that's why I went to college with the intention to come back home.
Mm-hmm.
I would even go as far as to saying, Lorraine is the reason why I went to college. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I went to college solely to be able to be equipped with some of the things that I need to know now to help the people in our community and, you know, do what I can, play my part, play my role in pushing our community to where we want it to be.
Wow, you are a fascinating young man.
Boy.
With a whole lot of...
Like, how old is you again?
Right.
22.
Oh, wow, man.
Boy, you sound so much like little Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his desire to go to college, but he always wanted to come back home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, his sister... She went to college, but she's in Houston.
She said, I'm gone.
Yeah, she's and out of here.
I'm
but
out.
Little Mark is here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Working
so
in
you
the
sound, you know, and you're saying so many things that he has always said. That's what he wanted to do, to come back to help Lorraine. Yeah.
And you know what's refreshing, Nana, to me, as a black man,
mm-hmm.
It's refreshing to see young men such as yourself, a right. young black man that's setting the standard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We get this huge perception of our young men today that they're nothing but thugs. That mm-hmm. They only want to sell drugs and they want to do crime here and crime there. And, you know, and it's just refreshing to have a young man at your age that could be out doing anything and everything. Mm-hmm. You made it a point to say, listen, I'm going to go do this, 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 and this, and then I'm going to bring it back to where I came from.
That's right.
And make some positivity and change somebody else's life.
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. And, man, that's refreshing, man. Yeah. I got to tip my hat to you, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yes.
And at the great Ohio State.
I give him some love, see? And then he throw that at me. You see what I'm saying?
He told me he was a Wolverine. But at Ohio State, there's some of the things that we learn. I was actually a part of a program called the Bell National Resource Center, and it's for African-American males. And just to go to college and be surrounded by a lot of black males, my mentor, Dr. James Moore, who's there, and Dr. Scott Graves, two black males, brilliant minds. Just be surrounded by people like that. They showed me, they seen more. Like I said, I was at one point my biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. I never met people who saw more for me than I saw for myself. So mm-hmm. I was like, hold up. Like, you know, mm-hmm. they had so many big dreams and things that they knew I could do that sometimes I didn't even know I can do. And I dream big. Mm-hmm. But they dreamt a little bigger. So, like, I love being surrounded by people that looked like me, that pushed you that extra mile, but also made sure you had the support and love to get there. And one of the things we always said in the Bell National Resource Center was iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure, and our standard was excellent. That's just the standard we strive for, and you know, we were going to see whatever support we needed to achieve that standard of excellence. And that standard of excellence is a decision. It's not something you achieve and then that's just the end of it. You got to consciously wake up and like, I'm going to be excellent today. And then when you do that, you hold your brothers accountable and you know, see what they need so that they can be excellent today. And you know, that's where that piece of iron sharpens iron really comes into play. So it was just learning a lot of different. I would never got that experience if I didn't go to college. And I think that's an experience that's going to be very valuable to me now coming back to Lorraine.
Right.
It says that your passion is for mental health.
Yeah.
So we want to know why and how do you hope to transition the passion with the work that you have, that you want to do?
Yeah. So mental health... you know, it's one of those things that we don't always see. Everybody talks about that broken yeah. bone you got, mm-hmm. Or you can see where somebody's struggling physically. Mm-hmm. And I know mentally that's something that we don't always get to talk about, especially people, black and brown people that look like us. Mm-hmm. That's very, very important. So mental health was something that I was just always intrigued by. How could something, you know, how does trauma really affect us? Mm-hmm. You know, and not even trauma that's happened to us. Trauma that didn't happen to our ancestors. How does that really impact us? And, you know, that's something I was always fascinated by and I always wanted to help and, you know, to work and find solutions for that as well. So once I got to college, I actually wanted to be a high school history teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wanted to be a high school history teacher. I was like, I'm about to go be a history teacher. And it was for similar reasons. I always believed that representation was very important. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to teach African-American history. I wanted, you know, people to look like me to understand where we came from and some of our ancestral background and, you know, not just slavery, you know, like what are some of the great things right. that, you know, yeah. what are some of the great things right, we done
right,
did?
Right, right. Right.
So like that was my biggest thing. I wanted to be a high school history teacher. But then I realized like I might not want to really be a teacher. I just want to help kids and I want to help my community. So then that's when I got into the social work route. And just really, really value mental health and understanding how that impacts a lot of the things we do. And I almost look at it like the foundation of being. You got to be there physically, mentally. Like, that's part of your foundation. So, like, I think sometimes, and especially in black and brown communities, we don't talk about it. And I mean, sometimes we weren't able to talk about it, you know? So like, I wanted to be that representation and show people, especially as a young black male, like, you know, we could come and talk about this, bro. We could cry, you know what I'm saying? We could cry, I could hug you, I could say I love you, you know, like different things like that. And if you ask any of my really close friends or any of my friends in general, like those are things that I do with my friends. Like, I tell them I love them. I tell them I care about them. You know, and I think just me serving as a social worker, hopefully that helps a lot of unrepresented populations be able to find their own voice. And, you know, when it comes to mental health, being open to, like, you know, let's really start to talk about how some of our past have impacted us and what we're doing today. So that's kind of what I want to do with that.
You do have a passion, a real serious passion, and we really need that because the mental health of the young people now, the youth, and especially young men, is really strong right now. And to have somebody like you representing and wanting to help them is awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, and I think that's another part of just paying it forward. You know, when I was in college, I struggled with my mental health at a point. And I think a lot of college students do. At least research says a lot of college students do.
Right.
Think a lot of young people.
A lot of young people.
Not just college. I think a lot of young people have some mental health problem.
Yeah, and you know, I think sometimes we forget, you know, we are in a global pandemic, COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, COVID hit and COVID was everything. You know?
It was everything.
And it was. But I think sometimes we forget we're also in a mental health crisis, a nationwide mental health crisis. Any type of mental health statistic you can look at, COVID has impacted that in a negative way. And it was already not positive at first, you know? So I think, like, now, what COVID did, I think it truly slowed us all down, first of all. It slowed us down, and it made us start valuing things that were really important to us, you know, like our family.
Right, that's
right. And things like that, you know. But now we have the opportunity to shine light on some of these issues, like mental health. You see racism. You see, you know, all these different social issues that COVID really brought to light even more. So like I'm saying, mental health has always been a passion of mine. But I think we do need to understand that we are truly in a mental health crisis. And you know, our young people especially, like, they are facing something. And I'm young, but there's also younger groups of people who are facing things we never had to face. You know, like me, just 5 years ago, I didn't have to face some of these things that they're going through now. So just understanding and having empathy and just, you know, I'm here for you. You know, we gonna work this out. We gonna figure this out. This isn't a problem that you need to solve. This is a problem that we need to solve. So, like, just, you know, trying to be there for people. And I think that's super, super important.
Right. So talk about your future plans and where you see yourself in the community and the ways that you think you can improve student services within the district.
So my future plans, I started about 2 weeks ago working in the district as a district-wide social worker. So that's very, very exciting. And it was that was truly a full circle moment, you know, going in and doing my paperwork and like, wow, 5 years ago, I was just in this school as part of the first graduating class. So that's been really cool. I'm also working with the football team under Coach Krill. He's a great man. I'm glad that he chose to come and be a part of our community here in Lorain. He's from Cleveland. So, you know, those are some of the things I'm doing. And as far as, like, what I plan to do in the community, I do not plan to come. I'm a big collaborative person. So wherever I need to do, whatever I need to do, whatever needs to be done, I'm that person, you know? So, like, there's not any, I can say what I think is good for our community. But, you know, if that's not what the community wants, then that's where we go, you know? This is a community effort, and I play one portion of it, you know? It has to be a collective effort. So, like, I'm just another piece to the puzzle. And we got a lot of pieces that we need. So, as far as the community, like, I do plan on, you know, going around to different community organizations, just getting to learn about them. even when I was in college, I would always come back to, you know, just some of the things that we were doing in the community, like Juneteenth celebrations and different things like that. I would always just come back and just be a part of it, because that's something very special that's going on in our community. So just getting connected to different community organizations, and just seeing how can I contribute? What do they need from me? Mm-hmm. You know, what can I add? You know, if you need somebody, let's just say you need somebody to serve on this board, or, you know, you tell me what you need from me so that we can push our efforts forward. I don't need to just jump in organizations and demand to be in the forefront. Right. That's not something I want to do.
Mm-hmm. You want to work with them.
Yeah, they say, this is something they just talked about at our graduation. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go with everyone.
That's
so that's like, good. I want to go
that's
far.
Good. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to go far. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can't go far. We all don't go far.
That's right.
So like, I believe in community success. And that's, I think that's something our society has gotten away from. It's always about me, me, me. How much money can I make? What can I do? What other degree can I get? Instead of, you know, wow, this person is doing something great in the community. How can we support that? You know, how can we push our community to go forward? When it's success of one person in the community, that means it's success for all of us. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that's something that I want to get better at projecting as well. It truly does come down to, you know, a collective effort. And that's something that I want to be a part of. So it's not just me, you know. I truly want to join collective efforts.
I see why you did the speech, the commencement speech.
Yeah, so I truly want to join collective efforts. And then as far as my role with the school, like I said, I just want to be an advocate for our families, our parents, our students. 5 years ago, I was just in their shoes. So if I could connect them to any community resources they need, and also slowly tear down the stigma around mental health, I feel like I'll be going in the right direction.
So why is a Lorraine school the best kept secret around?
You know, hey, I'm a Lorraine through and through. So, I mean, I think it is one of the best kept secrets around. Mm-hmm. Like anywhere else, I'm not going to sit here and say we're perfect, because we're not. No, no place is perfect. But we're, like I said earlier, and I hinted to earlier, we're truly trying to build something special. And I'm always wanting to be a part of the solution in a place that I love. So and when you come to Lorraine, being in Lorraine, it's a place that you got to have pride for, because it will challenge you. Things are not easy. Things are not easy in Lorraine. But it's a place where you're going to be surrounded by people that love you, people who have pride where they come from, and people who just want to see the best for you. And you're not going to get that everywhere else.
That's right.
And, you know, like I said, there's things that we can work on, like, everywhere. But we also want other people's voices, people in our community, our students, administrators, staff. We want all the voices to be that collective effort to find those solutions. So I think you're going to get that if you come to Lorraine, be in Lorraine, and that's going to help us all.
And guess who Sly shares a birthday with?
Who?
Tell him the great man.
Barack Obama.
Who?
Barack Obama.
Oh. They have the same birthday.
I didn't know until somebody said it was Barack Obama's birthday. I'm like, hold up, it's my birthday.
Right. So you're the great man too. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Wow. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So is working with Coach Cree as a football coach.
Creel.
Yep, okay. Yep. How is that?
It's great. I mean, He's a stand-up man. He's a man of value, great character, and I think it's something that I definitely need. And I think we all, there's a couple of young coaches, I think we all kind of need that. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing a great job, you know, challenging us, but also giving us the resources and the support to succeed. And I think that's something great. I think that we are doing as much as we can and going to try to do more as far as what we could do with football. But like, he's truly building young men of character, and that's something that I'm going to always jump behind.
Right.
So like, he's a great stand-up man. This was my first year meeting him. Actually, the first time I ever met him, I didn't meet him directly. Mm-hmm. I was in Columbus, and I seen a news article that talked about how he canceled practice so that they can do study tables,
oh,
so
wow.
they can get their grades done. And then after that, I reached out to him, like, man, like, just 3 or 4 years ago, you got to understand I was a part of this program. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went to the Elite Eight, which means we was part of the last 8 schools in the state of Ohio. So, like, just to see that education be valued, and that's something our previous coach valued before, too. But just to see a black male come into this community and value that, value education, and going even as far as, like, look, we're not going to practice until y'all get y'all grades right.
All right.
That was a statement, and I think that was a true testament to his character.
Right.
And I always want to be around men of character. So shout out to Coach Creel. He's really doing what he can. And, like, we're just, like I said, if we want to go fast, go by yourself. You want to go far, you need a team. You need to collect
the
effort.
You need a team.
So wow. We're trying to go far. So, and I believe he's the one that can lead us.
You are the second.
I want to say a shout out to you. Because, hey, anytime you see a young man and always giving somebody else credit, that's good. That is really, really good. So, hey, I'm going to say a shout out to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, yes. You're right. Because I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
You are a phenomenal young man.
Yeah.
And we're glad that you decided to come back to give back.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing. And they're going to have a great social worker in you, because you'll be more to them than a social worker. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be all the things that people were to you or they weren't to you that made you work harder. And I'm glad that you will be instilling that same spirit in the young people that you will be working with.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really wonderful. So what would you like to say in your closing that you haven't said?
First, thank you guys for welcoming me on. Today, I think this was great. It was great to meet you guys as well. Thanks, Mark, as well.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I just want to say, like, never forget where you come from.
That's
right. Like, we all can pay it forward too. And I'm not saying anybody from Lorraine needs to stay in Lorraine. But just understanding wherever you go and wherever you choose to, you know, place your new roots. Just understand that we all got a place in this world to pay it forward. Somebody did something for us and sacrificed for us. And some people made the greatest sacrifice and gave our lives so that we could be here having this conversation today.
That's right.
So the least we could do is pay it forward. So that's what I'll say. Just pay it forward.
Thank you so much,
yeah.
Sly Worthy Jr.
Man, that name sounds fitting for him, don't it? It sounds.
Go Buck.
See?
Okay.
Well, we're so glad to receive this young man at Lorraine High, and know he is going to make a difference. And we're just glad to have you. I mean, glad you were from here and you decided to come back to give back. And that's a wonderful thing. This was Sly Worthy Jr. here on Power 89.1 FM, WNZN.
WNZN, Lorraine, Ohio.